Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four talented, exciting personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. It's always a pleasure to welcome back that individual and sometimes surreal comedian, Paul Merton, and sitting beside him on my right is that enigmatic and charismatic character, Clement Freud, and seated on my left we have two, who's, of course, the veteran of the game, because on my left we have two people who are quite new to the game. Owen O'Neill has never played it before, a novice in this one, a talented comedian, writer, performer, an individual, and beside him there is an amazing musician, actor, writer, and all-round good egg, and that is Bill Bailey. Will you please welcome all four of them? I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject which I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating. And beside me sits Janice Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from one of the venues at the Pleasance on the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. And by the way, four of the people here all have shows on this year's Fringe, except for one, that's Clement Freud, who's still working on his. And and we have in front of us a wonderful, excited, hyped-up Festival Fringe audience, ready for us to get started. So let's begin with Paul Merton. Paul, a dream come true. That is the subject. Talk on it if you can. 60 seconds, starting now.
Appearing on Just a Minute here at the Edinburgh Fringe is very much a dream come true. When I used to live in the bedsits in the 1980s, those particular places dotted around London, Streatham, I lived for quite a few times, I would...
Clement challenged.
Yeah, the reputation of lived.
You lived there too much.
You can rub it in. It was 8 years.
So, Clement, a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject. There are 50 seconds still available. A dream come true starting now.
A dream come true would mean switching on Channel 4 on my television set and learning the Australians were all out for 18. But it is unlikely to occur because currently they're doing incredibly well, and this is of no interest to anyone because by the time this Just a Minute is broadcast, it'll be winter and nobody will remember.
Paul Charles.
Well, deviation, because in fact it's being broadcast the day after we make it.
So absolutely, it is being transmitted
to nobody tomorrow. Told me.
My Titanic sunk the other day, did you hear that?
Yes, for those in the audience who are interested, you can listen to it at 6:30 on Monday, the 29th of August. Is that right, 29th, tomorrow? Thank you very much, audience. Bill, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, it was. Give Bill a bonus point because we enjoy the interruption. Oh. Paul, you had a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take back the subject. A dream come true and 27 seconds available starting now.
In the 1960s, when I danced in Sir Clement's arms at the Café Royal Paris, who would have thought then that all those...
Deviation.
We were inspired.
Bill, your challenge is deviation one.
Well, deviation of one sort. I mean, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was a form of deviation, yes.
Is that right? Are there subsections of these Clement, individual...
Clement led. There was nothing funny about it.
Oh, right. Sorry, I'll take it back.
Bill, it's one of those things where you have to give the benefit of the doubt on occasions. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt to you because it was a very devious idea.
Thank you.
I don't believe, anyway, he actually danced in Clement Freud's arms. I mean,
you've always been jealous, haven't you?
No, that's... So, Bill, you get a point for a correct challenge. You have 21 seconds. A dream come true, starting now.
Once in Hammersmith in West London, I was sitting in a park, and I looked down, and there was an egg cup in my hand, and it had Lambrusco in it. And I went to sip the wine that was in the vessel, and I just touched it to my lips. And I woke up, and it was not, in fact, a dream. I was actually in a park drinking Lambrusco.
football challenge.
Sadly, repetition of park. Yes, park, sorry,
yes.
You
have to go back
yes.
to emphasise the park, which is difficult in just a minute. But, Paul, you've cleverly gone in with 2 seconds to go. A dream come true.
It's like you can boo all together. It doesn't matter. Quite sensitive. It doesn't matter.
2 seconds. Dream come true, starting now.
As I wallowed towards the great fields of...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion was Paul Merton, who you must realise has now got a lead at the end of that round. Bill Bailey is following, then Clement Freud, then Owen. In fact, Owen's yet to speak, but there's a chance yet.
Hello.
Hello, right. Give him a bonus point for his hello. And we're being up in Scotland, we have to have some Scottish subjects. So, Bill, will you take the next round? And the subject is the Totten Army.
Oh.
And the time... Oh, sorry, 60 seconds. Time starts now.
The Tartan Army is a term which is commonly used to refer to the travelling band of Scottish football fans, but it also could refer to a combat operation that were clad in such apparel, which would offer little or no camouflage.
Oh, you were the first to challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, yeah. There was a definite which you
my normal speech pattern, I'm a bit...
So, Owen, good to hear from you. Great, 43 seconds are available. Tell us something about the Tartan Army, starting now.
The Tartan Army is also a band of people that used to follow the Bay City Rollers around in the 1973s. 73s! And
Don't repeat.
No. Don't repeat, though, but yes, that's right.
That's right.
I know, we've got to watch it. So, Clement, you challenge first. I think we know the challenge. Take over the subject. 36 seconds, the Tartan Army starting now.
1873 was a terrifically good year for the Tartan Army, but not as 1912, which excelled. People wearing kilts in tartans followed...
Bill, challenge.
Tartans? Repetition of,
The air in tart.
Yes.
I think it's a very clever and ingenious try, but I can't allow it, Bill.
All right.
But we give you a bonus. But they enjoyed the interruption. It wasn't exactly a challenge.
Oh, I see.
So, Clement, you.
Ooh.
Ooh. You try running the game without you're appearing pompous on occasions. Right.
Okay.
Right. Clement, you therefore had an incorrect challenge and you have 23 seconds to continue with the Tartan Army starting now.
What is so uplifting about the Tartan Army is the enthusiasm has absolutely nothing to do with the incompetence or otherwise of the Scottish football team. Whether they concede 3, 4, 5, or 6 goals without any response, the chaps from the Tartan Army cheer and drink.
Owen challenged.
It's a deviation. Scotland have actually won a game in the last year.
Well, they have won a game, but I think the point he was making, Owen, was that...
They were really bad. And I think the Scottish people here are going to get very angry in a minute.
But Clement doesn't mind that.
Oh.
He enjoys confrontation. I think, actually, it was a good challenge, Owen, but it basically...
Really?
Yes. It was a good challenge, but I'm not going to allow it.
On this side, we thought it was crap.
So, Clement, you have another point, and you have 4 seconds on the Tartan Army starting now.
In the regular army.
And Bill's challenge.
Regular. Repetition of Egular.
Oh, Bill, you're trying too hard.
Okay, sorry, I'll take a point off.
No, we don't take them away, we just add. 3 seconds, the Tartan Army starting now.
Sergeant, Lieutenant, Captain, Colonel.
So, Clement Freud, keeping going to the whistle, when gained the extra point, and with a little help from his friends here, has gained a number of points in that round, and he's now in the lead ahead of Paul Merton and Bill Bailey. And Owen O'Neill, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is how to greet an ex. You have 60 seconds, as usual, and you start now.
The best way to greet an ex is to jump wildly out of the way, because it is very dangerous when this particular implement comes into the room, especially if you have not used it before. You can grab the ex in both hands and spread your legs really wildly, and you can wear a pair of goggles. Right. I said spread your legs wildly, which is right, actually. If you're going to challenge for that point. No.
What was your challenge, Billy? With the
yes, wildly. I was going to say wildly. You've got that deviation of wildly, but maybe
you can spread your legs in a wildly manner.
In a wildly way.
Yeah, of course you can.
What, so somebody's not aware of it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Disguise him as an old woman.
That's exactly what I meant.
You mean it was wildly because it was provocative and encouraging?
Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, well, fair enough.
Then, if that's your justification, I will allow you to have it. You get a point, and you keep the subject. 39 seconds, how to greet an ex, starting now.
How to greet an ex, you can spread your legs wildly.
You mustn't repeat things.
Oh, I see. I thought I had another go.
But you can't repeat what you've already said in this round.
Right.
You repeated in another round.
Yeah.
That'll work into another subject.
You yes.
Put it in, but not in this round.
Well, you better let me off again, because I didn't know that.
Well, as you didn't know, it's the first time. I'm sure Paul's always very sporty. We like to go back to where you were, which is 33 seconds, wasn't it? How to greet an ex, 39 seconds starting now. Paul, your challenge.
Hesitation?
Yeah, it didn't start that time.
That's right, yeah. Right. Well done, Paul.
So, Paul, another point to you. 33 seconds on how to greet an ex, starting now.
The best way to greet an ex is to spread your legs widely and say, Sir Clement, at last we meet after all these years. Who can forget that dance at the Café Paris? Oh, it was wonderful. You were resplendent in your tuxedo. And I was there in a 1950s cocktail dress.
Clement challenged.
I thought he was in my tuxedo.
Clement,
actually, Clement, he did establish quite early on that you were taking the male role when we were talking before.
Oh, yes. In another round a long time ago.
Yeah. But therefore, it is an incorrect challenge.
Uh-huh.
Because you were in the dress, weren't you, Paul?
Yes, right.
Right. How to greet an ex, Paul, starting now.
I suppose it all depends on how the relationship broke up. If you were the one that dumped, or if you were the dumpee.
Clement challenged.
To if you wears.
That's right, if you were. So, Clement, you got in with 12 seconds to go on how to greet an ex, starting now.
Well, you don't say hello, ex, if you remember who she was. What you tend to do is you say, surely this is a familiar face that I see before me. What is your inside leg measurement?
So, Clement Freud was speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's increased his lead slightly over Paul Merton, followed by Bill Bailey and Owen O'Neill. And, Clement, it is also your turn to begin. Keeping on the Scottish theme now, what I love about the Scots. you've already said about the Tartan Army. Let's hear the other side of the coin. 60 seconds, starting now.
What I love about the Scots is their total un-Welshness. The fact that they are hardly Irish at all, and that we in Lowestoft and Yarmouth look up to them, because after William the Conqueror landed at Hastings, the acute angles turned north and got here, whereas the obtuse ones went straight on to Somerset, Wiltshire, Devon and Cornwall. What I love about the Scots is the fact that they have Harris Tweed.
Paul Challenge.
There was a hesitation there.
Yeah, definitely, yes. And 29 seconds for you, Paul, on what I love about the Scots, starting now.
It's why they talk to American tourists about actually taking the piss out of them, which I think is a fantastic achievement when somebody from the States comes up and says, hey, have you got the McClintock pardon? And some guy without a moment's hesitation just grabs it off a shelf and says, it's this one. And I think it's beautiful. As you see them walking up the Royal Mile, resplendent, the tartan glittering in the sunshine.
Clement Challenge.
Two tartans.
Oh!
Tartan was the other subject, tartan army.
Yeah.
This is
it was stupid, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't it?
No, you went very well for a long time.
Yeah.
Just remind people who don't know, you can, I know in you particularly.
Right.
You
can, oh, dear.
Does Owen not know in particularly?
No, you
that's
can.
That's repetition, because you've told me that before.
No. You can repeat the words on the card.
Okay.
At any time. Right. So, Paul, an incorrect challenge. Clement, 8 seconds. What I love about the Scots, starting now.
No, there was a correct challenge, I think.
Yes, that's right. But who's it to then?
It's Clement. You said incorrect. It's a quick challenge, Clint.
Yes, by giving him the subject, so I just obviously got incorrect and well, puzzled.
Can you repeat the whole thing? What I love about the Scots, could you repeat any part of that thing?
Do you want me to repeat exactly what he said?
What I love about the Scots?
Yes,
Scots,
said,
I love about
I
the
love
what?
About the Scots,
Scots
the
I love.
Scots,
what Scots?
Why they meet the moment. I'll repeat everything that Paul Merton said, but it'd be utterly boring if I did.
All right, you don't want to a hip-hop soundtrack.
All right.
Funny enough, Nicholas has had a hip-hop.
If I knew what it was, I wouldn't be laughing so much.
MC Nizzle.
It was a correct challenge. I actually did give you the subject, and there are 7 seconds on What I Love About the Scots starting now.
What I love about the Scots is the certainty with which they tell haggis from Harry's Tweed. I am always unsure.
So, Clement Freud got another point, speaking as the whistle went, and others in the round. He's just 2 ahead of Paul Merton and 3 or 4 ahead of Bill Bailey and Owen O'Neill in that sequence. And, Paul, it is your turn to begin. The subject is tongue twisters. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
The game you play at school, I suppose. Several tongue twisters like Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper. Nicholas nibbles nougat nostalgically. These are the kind of things that you hear from children. Tongue twisters were invented by Professor Tongue, who lived in the 19th century Bavaria and had an unfortunate speech impediment. See, that's the way I pronounce the way that he would have done. He would have preferred to have said something a little closer to how we expect English language to be pronounced. He was the most extraordinary figure. He would wander down the high street late at night, his tartan glinting in the sunshine.
Sorry.
Oh, Paul Bill, you challenge.
Glintering.
Yeah, it's an old Scottish word. They'll be glinting in the gloaming.
Glinting in the gloaming.
So you think that's a deviation from
I think that's
English.
A deviation from the actual word.
No, deviation from English as we understand it and from the actual word. Yes, all right. I'm with you, Bill. I'm with you.
All right, then. You can have it. All right, yeah. I'll give you that
I'm giving it to you. I don't want the subject.
Oh.
I wouldn't know what to do with it if I had it anyway.
Any
suggestions? I can't get any points. You can. Right. 24 seconds, Bill. Yes, you.
Oh,
yes,
got
yes.
it. I've got
You've
it.
Yes. Right. God, how often do I have to say it?
I don't know. It's a very complicated game.
Is your hair covering your ears?
It is,
much,
yes.
Right.
The beard muffles up my speech.
Yeah, right. The subject is tongue twisters, and you have 24 seconds starting now.
Tongue twisters include words such as round the ragged rock, the ragged rascal ran.
Yeah, yeah. Clement challenge.
Repetition.
Which includes ragged. 2 words which are the same. I was hoping he weren't going to spot that particular mistake.
No, but Clement did. He's played the game too often. Clement, you have the subject of 18 seconds of tongue twisters starting now.
You know, it depends very much on your tongue, because some words twist tongues the way others don't. I shot a hippopotamus with bullets made of platinum, because if I use leaden ones, his hide be bound to flatten them. It's not necessarily a tongue twister, but...
Paul Charles.
It's not a tongue twister.
It twists some tongues.
As Clem just said, not necessarily a tongue twister. Deviation. Very good chairman. Excellent chairman. Very good. Shrewd. Shrewd as a knife, aren't you? Shrewd as butter, this man. Shrewd as butter.
No, I think, actually, I must be fair to him on this game. Give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's
unusual. No, you did say at the beginning, tongue twisters are not only the ones that Paul established, Ragged Rascal and Peeper, Pike and Pickle, blah, 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 all that, but also you have to twist your tongue to get it round such things.
Very excellent chairman.
Yeah. Have to get them round those sort of poems, in which you did, and you keep the subject with 2 seconds to go, tongue twisters starting now.
Round the ragged rocks.
I don't know whether Paul challenged before the whistle or not. I think he did.
I got it under the wire, I think.
Yeah. Did he? Did he? Yeah. Ask you, did he? You're all prejudiced, aren't you?
There was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation before he's finished it, yes.
Waiting for the whistle.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look it up in the dictionary, it's called hesitation.
Right. You have to blow it again. So, Paul, you have 1/2 a second on tongue twister starting now.
Waiting for the whistle!
Right, now we move on, and it's Bill's turn to begin, and the subject is cat's whiskers. Will you tell us, Bill, something about cat's whiskers in this game, starting now.
whoa.
What's the matter, Bill?
Sorry, I've got a hairball. Well,
have a drink of water and right. Start a game. The veterans are on my right, and the novices are on my left. So I say, always say now, give you a chance to take a breath. The subject is tongue twister, 60 seconds, starting now.
No. Repetition.
What's the matter?
No, repetition of a time slip in the... A gap in the time.
What's the matter then?
It's Cat's Whiskers.
Oh, what did I say?
Tongue twister.
Tongue twister. That was the other subject, wasn't it? Yes.
See? Eh? No wonder I'm confused.
Listen, when you've got four fellas coming at you like that all the time, it can be very confusing. Right.
You love it, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I revel in it, yes. Right, there we are. So where
Gets
we
you
are.
Out of the house, isn't it?
So there we are.
No,
Bill.
Was it the Cat's Whiskers, did you say? Or Cat's Whiskers,
no, it's
general?
The
or
Cat's Whiskers.
The Cat's, right.
The Cat's Whiskers.
The, you can say as much as you like.
Yeah.
The Cat's Whiskers.
Bill, the Cat's Whiskers, 60 seconds, starting now.
The Cat's Whiskers is a term often applied to something which is absolutely marvellous, something like the Badger's Nadders or...
Owen Challenge.
I want to know what the Badger's Nadders are. As a repetition.
It was of something.
Well done.
Owen, you have 55 seconds on the Cat's Whiskers, starting now.
The Cat's Whiskers is a pub in Dublin, very near where I live, and it's a lovely place to go for a drink on a Sunday afternoon. There are no cats allowed into the pub, and this is because there is no litter bin.
Oh, poorly challenged.
It was a hesitation.
Yes. So, Paul, the Cat's Whiskers is with you, and there are 45 seconds starting now.
In the 1970s, the Cat's Whiskers was a rather rough discotheque in Streatham in South London, and you would walk past it at your peril late at night. You would see punters drunk, bloodied, being thrown back in because they'd still had some money to buy a big pint of beer, and it was run by criminal activities who used to meet in a scout hut round...
Cameron Charles.
You can't be run by criminal activities.
Of course you can.
You can be run by criminal activators.
Yeah. Well, it's a pronunciation thing, then.
Yeah. I suppose technically you're right, Clement. It's a bit pedantic.
Wonderful chairman.
So, benefit of the doubt to you, Clement, which you say you rarely get. You have a point. You have 25... Well, it is criminal activities. He's right. He can't be run by criminal activities. Run by criminals.
That's what I said.
I know that's what you said. I was trying to satisfy Paul Merton.
When did the biscuits come round?
You were trying to bluff me out of my decision.
Yes.
So, Clement, you have 25 seconds on the Cat's Whiskers, starting now.
I'm not terribly fond of cats, so to say something is the Cat's Whiskers and imply thereby that it is perfect, excellent, wonderful, without any complaint by anyone who could make against it, seems to me philologically fallacious.
Paul challenged.
Sadly, hesitation.
There was an error in there, Paul Clement.
Really?
Yes, right.
I wasn't listening.
I know.
You weren't alone there.
So, Paul, you have the subject back. You have 10 seconds. The Cat's Whiskers, starting now.
They are designed to be on the side of the cat's head so the creature can judge distances. If you see a feline walking towards a gap between a door and a wall, the whiskers will tell...
Well, Paul Merton was weakened then as a whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now only two behind our leader, Clement Freud, and he's a few ahead of Bill Bailey and Owen O'Neill. Ooh! I got a hiccup then, it's gone, we'll carry on.
It sounded like you'd been punched by a pygmy.
Being radio, I just let them know all that's happening all the time.
Absolutely.
Because it is a spontaneous show, we keep going irrespective. Right. So, Bill Bailey and Owen O'Neill, as we go into the last round, are equal in third place. A few points behind Paul Merton, who is in second place, and he's 2 points behind our leader, Clement Freud. And, Clement, it's your turn to begin, so we start the last round with mail. Can you tell us something about mail, starting now?
I get quite a lot of mail every day, but the ones I least like are...
Paul Charles.
I thought it was a slight hesitation there.
I think there was indeed, Paul,
yes.
Yeah.
It's a bit early.
He was trying to think about the mail he got and hesitated. And the 55 seconds for you, Paul, to continue. No, to take over the subject of mail starting now.
Mail comes in many forms. There's the newspaper, there's chain, or there's the sex. First of all, let's talk about men. Aren't they the most marvellous, wonderful creatures on God's good earth? I can see women nudging each other now saying, I wish I was a bloke. But you can't be, ladies, because your chromosomes aren't in the right order. Look at Bill Bailey. He started off as Linda, hasn't done him any harm. Wonderful individual. He can play the bassoon underwater, and it's a good trick if you can do it. Nicholas Parsons, I think, is the most wonderful example of male that we can see today in this great country of ours. When we look at our esteemed chairman, we think to ourselves, God, is that the time? But no! Marvellous! Because his judgments are so wise and sharp and erudite, and beside me I have Sir Clement Freud, knighted for his services to the knitting industry. In fact, he should have been knitted, but he wasn't. It was a wonderful occasion when he bent down before the Queen and said, I think you're sitting in my chair. And indeed she was. And she got up and walked down the corridors of Buckingham Palace holding her head held high. Meanwhile, there's Owen O'Neill, fine individual, the best version of Teenage Kids ever had.
A very well-deserved round of applause for Paul Merton, who went... How many seconds did he go for? He went for 55 seconds there, right up to the whistle there. Gained that extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and I give you the final situation. Bill Bailey and Owen O'Neill, because they didn't speak in that last round. This will finish.
We didn't get a chance to speak.
We didn't get a chance to speak. No, but what a wonderful contribution you both made.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Both got to come back again.
I've
Certainly. A bit more practice.
Yeah, I need a lot more practice.
Wait a minute. Yeah. And Clement Freud was in the lead until then, 2 points ahead, but Paul got 2 points in that run. Puny one for speaking with the whistle went. So a very fair final decision. The winners are, if we have a winner, but is Paul Merton equal with Clement Freud? On the right. That is all we have time for. It only remains for me to thank our four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Bill Bailey, Owen O'Neill, and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle most charmingly. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. And we're very grateful to this lovely festival fringe audience here at the Pleasance up in Edinburgh, who've cheered us on our way with such aplomb. And, oh, we do love you all. Anyway, from our lovely audience and from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.